today on Real Radio.
That's what Paul is saying, to be intolerant of sinful acts and sinful conduct. He says, any brother who calls himself, or any man who calls himself a brother and lives like this, don't even eat with the guy.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a study taken from the last five verses of chapter 5. Now, Paul has already laid out his case about avoiding sexual immorality. And now he takes it a step further in admonishing the believer to stay away from anyone who practices that kind of sin. Don't even associate with them. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Living Out the Word of God.
We need to be strong, which leads us, really, to the second point, is that we're not of this world. Verse 11 teaches us that we're in the world, but we're not of it. We are not of the world. We are Christians. The word Christian means to follow Christ. And we are en route to heaven. We are to be obedient to the Word of God, verse 11 teaches us. This is serious stuff. Ushers, let the people run. Just let him out. Here it comes. Here it is. But now I have written to you, this is the apostles speaking to the church of Corinth, not to keep company. Don't hang out. Don't be a friend of. Cut the guy off. Don't go to the movies. Go to dinner. You fill in the blank. Don't keep company. Do not keep company with anyone named. The word named is one who declares himself to be a Christian. Listen. Who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idol worshiper or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. Now watch this. You say, Jack, I'm totally confused. You mean I can go out into the world and witness to the people who do those things, but I'm not even to have dinner with a Christian who's doing those things? Answer, correct. Why? Watch this. If you're a Christian, raise your hand. You're in huge trouble now. Huge. You know why? Any person declaring himself to be a brother, a Christian, is judged with a stricter judgment by God. The world, God expects nothing out of the world. They don't know him. When we go to the world, we don't expect anything from them. The moment somebody says, hey, how are you? I'm a Christian. Oh, dear. You know what I'm saying? Let's be honest. If somebody comes up and says, hey, how are you? I'm a Satanist. Okay, then. I know what to expect from this guy. I'm going to put on garlic and, you know, I'm kidding, but you know what I mean? Put up the cross and, no, I'm joking, but listen, I know, I don't expect anything from him. He doesn't know God. The moment someone says, hey, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord. In my life, and I know in your life, I'm just being honest right now for you, is, oh dear, that guy just said he's a Christian. Let's watch and see. Huh? Let's watch and see. In the context of Christianity, in the context of the church, you will find wolves in sheep's clothing. The Bible says you will find those who are out to destroy people. You'll find those who are out to take advantage of people. Why? All of this stuff. If you have a guy who says he's a Christian and a guy who says he's not a Christian, their human fleshly appetites are exactly the same. Extortion, sexual gratification, partying or whatever. You fill in the blank. They're out for the flesh. And when somebody says, yeah, whatever, they live in the flesh, they live for the flesh, and then on Sunday they say, I'm a Christian. Yikes. I don't know. We'll have to watch and see. And it gets real quiet in here. And this is serious stuff, huh? And yet the world out there is saying, they wouldn't even come in here, but the world would say right now to what I just said, what do you guys say? Amen, pastor. Yeah, preach it, dude. That's true. The world says that's true. The Christians in name only want to say, I'm leaving. I'm not going to take that. No, I'm going to that church again. So next week you'll be able to park anywhere you want. We are to be obedient to the word of God. And I'll give you some hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. 1 Peter 1, 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, you know the stuff that we used to do, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Watch this. This is awesome. If you think the answer to being a true Christian is wearing black, I like wearing black, but you think, oh, I'm going to wear black. I'm not going to put any makeup on. I'm going to put my hair in a bun. And I'm going to get a really big Bible and suck on lemons. And I'll be holy. And so when people see me, well, hey, you're different. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm a Christian. I'm following God. Won't you come? Are you kidding? Are you kidding? That's it. Forget it. What do you think? Listen, that's religion trying to attain a status to impress God. When Peter said, by the way, Peter's quoting from Leviticus chapter 20, Moses. Peter is saying, I got some good news for all of us. Because God's holy and you're in the family of God now, you're one of his kids, you can be holy now because he's holy. He's your dad. He's your father. And he turns to you, he fills you with his Holy Spirit, and he seals you, the Bible says, into the day of redemption. And then he winds you up and he puts you in this world and he sends you out into it because you're not of it. And you go out into it and you come from the position of God having declared you holy. And you live like that. And that's why the world will rejoice in seeing you in sincerity and honesty, in power, and Satan will tremble. Remember when those guys in the book of Acts were faking their Christianity? And the demons spoke from the possessed man to the guys who were trying to make money out of Christianity. And they said, in the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus, come out. They didn't even know what they're talking about. And the demon speaks to the guy's mouth. Can you imagine? I'd love to see that. The demon goes, hey, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? And the Bible says the demon left the guy's body and attacked those guys. Hello. Don't you, listen, this is kind of weird, but it's true. Don't you want to be known in hell? I don't mean, don't you want to go to hell? I mean to be known in hell. Imagine that. That a carload of demons would drive down the street in the spirit and say, get away from that church, get away from that church. We know those people. Why? Because you pray, you're devoted to God, you're serving the Lord, and it's just absolutely wreaking havoc in the kingdom of darkness. That to me is awesome. No, just tiptoe around. Don't shake them up. Ah, it's too late for that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, says the Bible. Which leads us to this. We are to be intolerant of sinful acts. That's what Paul is saying. To be intolerant of sinful acts and sinful conduct. He says, any brother who calls himself, or any man who calls himself a brother and lives like this, don't even eat with the guy. You say, what does that accomplish? A lot. Number one, it keeps you from becoming polluted by that person's actions. Listen carefully. It protects you from being polluted by that person's actions. Number two, it's in direct obedience to the word of God. Number three, it sends a message to that guy, he's living a wrong life. And you would say, but number four is, I should be gracious and forgiving to him. Not yet. You can't do that until the person repents. How can you forgive someone who's not repenting of their sin? God hasn't forgiven them yet. They have to repent to be forgiven. In a church setting, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In a church family, if you know someone who calls himself a Christian, but is an extortionist and a thief and a robber and sexually immoral and all this stuff, listen, the Bible says don't even eat with them. Number one, if they're a real Christian, they will sense of being ostracized will lead them back to Jesus. If they're not a real Christian, then let them go. You say, Jack, I can't believe I'm hearing this in a church. Well, then maybe you should come here more often then. This is the real deal. This is for real. Because look, in our feelings, when we don't want to confront situations, and I'm not talking about judging in the way of condemning. We're supposed to love one another if we care. Imagine, oh gosh, look at that guy. He's going to go down the cliff. I think he's going to go off that cliff. He doesn't even see it coming. Oh dear. People go like this. Get the camera. This could be a YouTube moment. That guy's going to go off the cliff. How can you love the person? If you really love somebody, you're going to say, hey, listen, you know what? Did you hear that message on Sunday? Isn't that you? I mean, dude, I've known you for a long time. Aren't you like shacking up with Bubbles? And you guys carry a Bible to church, but then you go home and you know what? You guys say that you're Christian, but you live in a totally different world. Isn't that what this... That guy's going to say, hey, get out of my life, man. Or he's going to say, man, that burns. It's going to cause a reaction. You know what? I would rather have that happen than for me to not say anything. Oh, man, doesn't that remind you of, like, you know, Fred and Wilma, that whole thing? Yeah, wow. Well, don't tell them. You know, don't you say anything about it. Why do we do this? To protect ourselves. And they're injured. Do we really believe in the Bible for reals? I mean, honestly, come on. This is a big deal. And it just doesn't have to be the things that are listed here. It could be anyone who names himself or herself as a brother or sister and doesn't live a life for God. Which leads us to us being uncomfortable with the things that God hates. We need to be uncomfortable, church, with the things that God hates. Imagine if God were to say, I hate these things, and we're all okay with it. Are you guys with me? Are you here right now? Yeah. Did you tune out? You're so quiet. God says, I don't like that. In fact, I hate this and I hate that. You say, God can't hate. He's the God of love. Oh, wait. In the Bible, in fact, you can mark it. It's Proverbs chapter 6. God says he hates some things. If he hates those things, shouldn't we hate them? Okay, I'm going to ask you again, and then you act like you listen and say, yes. So we rewind that. If God hates things, shouldn't we hate the things that God hates?
Yes.
That's great. Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable or an abomination to him. A proud attitude or a conceited look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that kill someone who cannot defend themselves. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. That word implies a gossiper. Wow. A false witness who pours out lies and a man who stirs up dissension or division among his brothers. What does that mean? God says, I hate the person, for example, who, wherever they go, there is a drama of division. You know people like this. Wherever they go, in the name of Jesus, every time they leave, people's lives are ruined. There's somebody cruising along, loving on God. This person shows up, gets done talking to them, and they no longer go to church. They no longer open their Bible. They wind up over time drying up. What has happened? God says, I hate that kind of person doing that kind of stuff. Could you imagine God saying that to you? You know how we're reading in the chronological Bible in Job? How God speaks to Job. Hey, Job, sit down. I'm going to tell you how it is. And I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're going to answer me. Can you imagine God talking to you like that? So God says to Job, all right, tell me how I made the stars. And tell me how I did this. Go ahead. You think you know so much, Job? Go ahead, tell me how I did it. Oh, man. When God speaks, he is the authority. And he says, look, there's things I hate. So we should hate those things. We should guard our lives against those things. Third and final point, verses 12 to 13. Living out the word of God means that we're to be above this world. Humbly, yes, but above this world. The Bible tells us that we have been seated in the heavenly places with Christ. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't that amazing? You know how all of you raised your hand a moment ago as Christians? Your real address is in heaven. Your real passport is in heaven. When you go home, I'm talking the real big home. You're not going to your home in Chino Hills or wherever you live. You're not going to that home. When the moment comes for the big trip home, you're going to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. That's where you and I live out of. That's where we live from, the reality. And so we need to enjoy that and walk in that power and understand this, that verses 12 to 13 teaches us, number one, that we are to leave the final judgment to God. Look at verse 12. It says, "For what have I to do," Paul says, "judging those also who are outside?" Paul is saying, I don't judge the world. And then skip down to the first part of verse 13. But those who are outside, God judges. God's going to deal with the world. We don't even need to elaborate on that over and over again. The Bible's very clear. That's what part of the Battle of Armageddon is all about. That's what the great white throne judgment's all about. That is what when Jesus in Matthew 25, when Christ returns to earth in the second coming, the Bible says he sits in Jerusalem and he draws the nations before him and he separates them like sheep, or like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. Can you imagine? That day's coming. When God judges the world. We're not to judge the world. We have no business judging the world. It doesn't matter. But look, it's altogether different. Look at the latter end of those two verses. We're to live like the people that we are. That is, that we are Christians and we're above this world. He says, do you not judge? You guys, right there, circle the word judge. The word is examine. Inspect, determine, conclude. Do you not decide, conclude those who are inside, that is the church? Don't you guys know one another and relate to one another and discern amongst one another who's for real or not? Look at the end of verse 13. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil guy. Imagine this, and we're going to come to the end of this here in a moment. The Bible says that we ought to be relating to one another in such a way that if somebody's off, something's wrong, if we really love one another, and this is not preference. You might be here today, maybe you're visiting, you say, you know what? Your shirt's untucked. Well, I intended to untuck. I can't tuck in my shirt. I mean, I could, but I don't like to. I get too hot. You say, oh, I can't come back because your shirt's untucked. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. But if my life is off in some area, and you come to me and you say, you know, Bible verse, chapter right here, what's the deal? That's fantastic. We can only do that if we know each other. The book of Corinthians has been teaching us this. Now watch this. It is essential because as the people that God has made us to be in fellowship one with another, we are to be what Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. We are to look at one another's life and conclude. Now you see a brand new Christian. Brand new Christians are fun. You need to know and remember though, when you're a mature Christian or an older Christian, that when you talk to a new Christian, they're just getting started. And they'll say, oh, man, praise the Lord. You know, I get, yeah, praise the Lord. Is that right? Yeah, well, praise the Lord. And, man, I pulled in here, you know, and I got a parking spot, and I got here before anybody. And you know what? And they might say something, and then beep. And then they go, was I supposed to say that? I don't think I'm supposed to say that anymore, right? Right? Some people, listen, some Christians will go, oh, my gosh, you don't do that. You'll freak out that new believer. You say, yeah, you know what? You're not supposed to say that. But look at you. You caught it. You wouldn't have caught that last week, huh? Yeah, you're right. And they're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. What's pathetic is when you meet a Christian who's 10 years old, and he's, I mean, 10 years old as a Christian. And he's living like that. There should be growth, right? So, we're not to judge one another with condemnation. We are to inspect one another with this intent, to encourage and edify one another, never to shoot at one another. Hey, what? I like this message. I'm going to go look for people now. If you want to find stuff wrong, guess what? You're going to find it. That's why the scripture says, you better watch out, because you find a little speck in someone's eye, but you got a plank sticking out of your own eye. Jesus said that. None of us have been called or gifted or anointed to be sin sniffers and fault finders. That's the Holy Spirit's business. We're to love on one another. It's a big difference. And listen, maybe you don't view this as love, but the Bible does. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18 says, now I urge you, brethren, note those, mark them. The word in Greek means put an observation watch over them, a tower, a guard shack. Protect yourself. Watch out for. Mark those, note those, who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. You know anybody who is a gossip? The Bible says avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That's pretty powerful stuff. You say, man, wow. Now, if you're here this morning and you're a gossip, your lips are on fire right now. We're going, and the Lord is saying, okay, that's it. That was my warning to you. God is speaking to your heart and he's saying, zip it. Because you're sowing discord among the brethren. Yikes. That's love, you guys. That's love. And we end here. That we are to love with the love of God. Paul's entire point when he says, put away from yourselves the evil person, evil in conduct. Paul's desire is to protect the church and to see if this person will come around, will decide on following Jesus instead of their feelings, to decide on following Jesus instead of what their lusts are all about. So critically important. And so you decide. Paul would say this morning if he were here, you guys decide to nurture and protect a lifestyle that you've chosen and you've slapped Christianity over the top of it, or to bring your life to the Lord and say, Lord, you create your life through me and you take the complete and absolute control and the reins of my life. Full surrender. The moment you surrender, the freedom comes. So in your life, Lord, I want to go left. I want to go right. And God says, just be quiet and go straight ahead. I don't want to do that, but I will do that. And you can bank on a blessing coming from him. God blesses obedience every time.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last five verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's called Living Out the Word of God. Living Out the Word of God is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this letter written by Paul, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I'd just like to take a moment and tell you that we're getting quite a big response to Pastor Jack's series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, which we recently aired right here on Real Radio. A lot of folks are writing in saying things like, wow, this really puts it all into perspective for me. Or, yeah, I'm getting this one for my brother. Or, I've got a friend that needs to hear it. So here's the exciting thing. We're extending our offer. Pastor Jack's 3-CD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Yeah, you heard right. Any amount, whatever you can send, we'll send the series to you. Just remember that whether you call, click, or write, be sure to ask for it by name, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, in a 3-CD set. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on that blue button right there on the right-hand side that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our phone number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO, or if you'd like, write in and send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all that contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.